Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would that you had known on this day the things that make for peace. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the one who brings true peace, true and lasting peace, peace both in this life and in the life to come. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you, he says in John's Gospel. He comes to bring peace, even in our Gospel lesson. But he also speaks the truth about concerning the rejection of peace, the rejection of the things that make for peace. And he does so tearfully. He speaks the truth concerning these things with tears in his eyes. He isn't just wagging his finger or shaking his fist. This is a much different vibe, as it were, a much different pathos and tone than the turn or burn type of preaching you might sometimes encounter on your television set or on the occasional college campus. Christ mourns for Jerusalem and her people and brings a tear to his eye. But the fact that it makes him sorrowful doesn't keep him from speaking the truth. He doesn't try to pretend as if the truth is not the truth, as if everything's going to be hunky-dory. In the words of our Old Testament lesson, he won't tell them, peace, peace, when there is no peace. He has come to bring peace, but they won't have it. They won't listen to God's actual word. They won't have faith in it. They refuse the things that make for peace. And so he weeps over Jerusalem. That's the city he's approaching, by the way. This text is part of Luke's record of the triumphal entry. Now, we read the story of the triumphal entry twice per year, once from Matthew and once from John in the one-year lectionary, and in both instances, we're a bit more focused on the celebratory nature of the thing. But here we get to see a little bit more of the story. Jesus here seems to be, in fact, still in the midst of the crowd celebrating around him. He just shut down the Pharisees who had tried to get him to quiet the crowd, saying if these were quiet, even the very stones would cry out. And yet still, in the midst of that crowd, in the midst of what seems to be a joyous reception, he weeps over the city. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, he says. He then, in effect, rebukes all the things they value so highly, in place of peace, perhaps, or in place of the things that make for peace, the objects of their pride, the things they perhaps even think are the things that make for peace, their strong walls, their beautiful buildings, and most of all, the temple. Over all of this, he says, not one stone will be left upon another. As you probably know, that came to pass a little less than 40 years later. The siege and destruction of Jerusalem, the leveling of the temple. In fact, the Arch of Titus commemorating that Roman victory still stands in Rome today. And again, what strikes me though, what seems so strange is that Jesus says all of this right after, seemingly in the midst of this resounding reception from the people. Which means what? I don't know. Does it mean that their welcoming of him was something more akin to lip service? Maybe. That they welcomed him, but not for what he'd actually come to give, but for what they wanted from him, what they expected from him, that they welcomed him but didn't want what he'd actually come to bring? Maybe that he saw already then the trajectory they were on, and that what he was about to do was unlikely to change that. I mean, of course, as God, he knew exactly how all of this was going to go down, right? But still, it seems here he wishes it could be otherwise, right? He saw where they were headed, that their pride and their indignation were going to drive them into a more direct conflict with Rome. Now, how Rome ever ended up in charge of Judea in the first place is an interesting piece of history. You ought to go look it up at home if you haven't read about that before. All sorts of strange political machinations and alliances involved there. But their pride and their indignation were going to send them headlong into an appalling end. I mean, what Christ describes here with the stone not being left upon a stone, that sounds rough enough. If you go read Josephus's accounts of these things, it's terrible. In fact, I can't recommend you go do that. It's unpleasant to read. They were headed headlong into an appalling end because they refused the things that make for peace. They refused to hear God's actual word. They refused, in fact, the very peace Christ was coming into that city to create. They refused the benefit of his life, death, and resurrection. They refused grace and forgiveness. They refused repentance and faith. These make for peace, both here and hereafter, both in this life and in the life to come, the grace and forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. It isn't pride and indignation, nor the objects of our pride. Those don't make for peace. The glorious walls and buildings of our nation, those don't make for peace. Nor is it in mere lip service to Jesus, but not receiving the actual peace he has come to bring. Nor in all the intriguing machinations and misleading head nods of politicians towards competing religious interests, those don't make for peace. Nor is it in those religious interests which seemingly have the form of Christianity, but lack Christian substance, lack a central focus on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Nor is it found in spending more time and energy getting worked up about the sins of the world than in turning to Christ in repentance and faith for the remission of our own sins. None of these things are the things that make for peace. But how often we get wrapped up in them instead. How often we get more wrapped up in these things that do not make for peace than we do in repentance and faith, than we do in learning the word and will of God, than we do in the death and resurrection of Christ our Lord and all that it means for us. But nevertheless, Christ comes to you just as he came to Jerusalem to create peace. He has come to you to give you peace. Peace in him. Peace which lasts. The hour of your visitation has come. You have peace with God through what Christ Jesus has done. It is yours now, and so live in it. Receive it and know it and rejoice in it. In fact, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.